Well, I was at school at the time, and it was I always had a love for the radio, and of course the Pirates were sort of I was around sort of with Big D, ARD, Radio City, Capel Street in Dublin, which was my very first job, and Hugh Brown, who's sadly no longer with us, I have to thank for giving me my break into radio, and I started Radio City 257 Capel Street, reading sports results on a Saturday afternoon.
And when would that have been? The late 70s, was it, David?
Yeah, it was like 1979/80. It was a real nerve-wracking experience, But it was a great thing to do and a great start for me. And from there, it kind of led on to a number of different stations from that time as a presenter. Big D, ARD, and then on to Radio Leinster in 1982. There's a bit of a story from that one because Danny Hughes, of course, was very well known from radio circles in that time. And he was running Radio Leinster up behind Lamb Doyle's in Sandyford. And he was having open auditions. So there I was on my bike as a young kid. Going up the mountains on my bike for an audition, and I arrived at Radio Leinster, and he goes, "How old are you?" I said, "Oh, I'm 20. You'd be way too young now for an easy listening format at Radio Leinster. But sure, we'll give you an audition anyway." And so there I was playing Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, and all that. And I come out, and he goes, "Well, you've blown me away slightly for a young lad," and he said, "Yeah, we'll have you. You can do Sunday evenings. You'll do," he goes. So Radio Leinster it was, and one of the best views ever for a radio station in those days.
Because you were so far up the mountain.
Oh, it was overlooking, basically, looking over the whole of Dublin City.
I think it's important to remember as well that Radio Leinster was quite an innovative station, I think, for was ahead of its time in a way. It was kind of competing with RTE Radio 1 in some ways, wasn't it?
That's right. And the thing for me is, and throughout my career, it's always been about having some kind of identity and music. And I'm very into my laid-back, easy style of music. And Radio Leinster kind of set the... it kind of set stations on their way to do that kind of format, and it proved very popular. But unfortunately for Radio Leinster, it probably came, I wouldn't say it came too late. What actually happened is there was quite a lot of raids around that time, and I think Radio Leinster just went away in 1982. There was some raids on Nova and Sunshine and things like that, but yeah, Radio Leinster suffered. I never came back.
And then you moved on to other stations after that. For instance, I think you were one of the people who set up Radio Ringsend, which was more of a community-style station.
Yeah, I mean, that was great to be involved. I mean, I loved my time doing community radio, and I want to highlight community radio. It's one of the things I want to mention today. It's an important role that community radio is playing in the future of Irish radio. But Radio Ringsend, Radio Sandymount, Radio Donnybrook, event radio, that was set up for community weeks in these areas. And it's the closest I think I'll ever become to becoming a pop star, because, you know, you'd be walking along the streets, "Asher, there's the DJ. There's the DJ. Can I have your autograph?" You know, we had all that in those days. Mm. It was great fun. And, you know, they were set up by, those community radio stations were set up by Dave Reddy, another well-known name from Irish radio in those days. So I was involved with those stations. And then I went on to get involved with Heartbeat. It was set up as a love songs radio station in the back of Dolphin's Barn in Dublin. And again, a complete identity to anything else that has been played on the radio. Love songs all day long, 24 hours. Would it work? Very, very popular station. It was on 95.5 FM. And of course, after Heartbeats came one that I know you know a little bit about, John. I know you've done some blogs, and that was KLAS.
Indeed, and I suppose for listeners, we should say that this was a very successful easy listening station, which was coming from the same housing estate where I was growing up on the north side of Dublin in Sutton. And you said you were young beginning with Radio Leinster, but I was really young beginning with KLAS. And I must have been the youngest presenter ever on an easy listening radio station, which was being listened to by my grandmother's generation.
Well, it was incredible, really, because I think when Hugh Hardy set up KLAS, most of the music, from what I remember, was mostly classical and easy listening. Mm-hmm. Just totally, there was no sort of Sinatras or Nat King Cole. It was all mostly classical in the very early days of it. So it was something very unique for a pirate station to be playing just nonstop classical. Again, another man that I've got to really thank for really launching me into my career. Certainly, we'll come to the UK in a few minutes. But Hugh Hardy was an amazing gent. You know, he really pushed me hard to do various things. He taught me a lot. And with KLAS, which then went on to become Class Radio, and it was all pretty much the same sort of thing. But he really did push the boat out with that station for sure, and I know you've great memories of it.
Absolutely, I do, and certainly for me it was my big break as well, because before then I had been involved in much smaller and much more localised stations, but this was one that was available right throughout Dublin, and I'd say, given the relatively free FM band of the day, probably got a lot further than Dublin as well. I know there used to be talk about letters coming from the UK on clear days and so on. So can you remind us maybe, David, of your memories of the kind of setup that was behind KLAS and Class? What kind of facilities were we talking about? How professional was it as an operation?
I think it was. I mean, the studios themselves, I mean, you know, the soundproofing was carpet on a wall. I always remember. I think Hugh had taken some carpet from somewhere, some remnants, and he soundproofed the walls with the remnants. Mixers, cassette decks, you know, all that kind of thing. I wouldn't say it was basic, but it all worked pretty well. It all worked pretty well. I just wanted one very brief story on KLAS, which I know I wanted to mention. It was about baked beans, and you're probably thinking, what on earth has baked beans got to do with radio? But this is a great story from KLAS. Hugh Hardy used to be based down in, he was up in Newry. He was up in Newry a lot, so he was up and down from Radio Carousel. And I remember him ringing me on a Friday afternoon, which was effectively payday. Yes, there was such a thing as payday. We did get paid. And he rang me and said, David, I can't get up to pay you. And I said, well, Hugh, I said, I'm a bit strapped for cash. I said, you know, you can't. He says, well, I won't be back till Monday. He said, but my son, Kevin, he's in the house. He said, and if you go and tell him the situation, he'll feed you with some baked beans, and that will keep you going until I get back. So, there we are.
And did you take him up on his offer?
I did, and I also slept on the room. There was a room near the studio that was used for sales, and Angela McQuaid, no longer with us as well, another lady who passed away number of weeks ago. I don't know whether you know that, John.
I didn't know. She was the sales rep from Dundalk.
She was the sales rep, yeah. And there was a room just sort of as you came into the back area there.
That's right.
So I actually slept there across the weekend and lived on baked beans. Oh, and then Hugh came and paid me so I could get home. That was a true story, but it was, you know, you can laugh about it now, I suppose.
And what did you do then when legalisation came along, David, in 1989? Did you stay in Ireland for that period?
What actually happened in 1989 is obviously I was with Class Radio as was my very last station, 31st of December, 1988. I'd made the decision that, you know, I was going to give the UK a bit of a go. I was going to try very hard to get something in the UK. It was going to take quite an amount of time, I think, for the legislation to come in Ireland and different things to happen. A lot of people said, oh, Davey, you should stay. You'll find something. There's going to be so many stations, everything else. But I didn't really want to be out of it, and I decided to come across to the UK. And I got very, very lucky in, amazingly, June 1989, when I got a call from the program controller of Essex Radio in Southend-on-Sea, Keith Rogers, And he said to me, look, we're opening an easy listening station, Breeze AM, and we'd really like you to come and meet her with us. And I was absolutely blown away with that. I kind of like, incredible. I just went down, and I ended up being offered a full-time job with Breeze AM, a brand new radio station launching, and I did the late night show for 9.5 years. And that gave me my big break into the radio. And then in 1998, I moved across to a radio station called Chelmer FM, which was opening up in the Chelmsford area, and did the breakfast show there, and then did some program controller work with that station. I forgot to mention during our passage of the Pirates that I did have 2 weeks, by the way, on Radio Caroline.
Oh, well, that's an important story.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that as we were going through the 80s. It was only for a few weeks. I didn't fare too well on the boat, to be honest, so I had to come off. But sorry to backtrack slightly there.
Why did you have to come off? Was it because of seasickness?
Yeah, I just obviously in those days there was no contact. There was no real contact with anybody apart from the Sally Ferries passing every day. And I just didn't settle. I didn't settle there at all. But it was a great experience to do it. It's a great experience to do it.
So coming back to your time in the UK then, you spent several years in the UK, but you came back to Ireland eventually, and you came back to legalised radio in Ireland eventually.
Yeah, I mean, in 2006, returned back to Ireland, and I had about a year doing stuff for Dublin's Q102, which I really enjoyed. I was doing shows across the schedule there and lots of cover work and everything else. Did a few bits there. I was on Beat 102, 103 down in
Waterford,
covering drive time for a few weeks. So it was great to do that. Made me feel young again. And then I was with the launch of Spirit Radio 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a year doing evenings on Spirit Radio. Obviously, Radio Snowflake is another thing that a lot of people will recognize. I've been involved with that now for the last number of years from an Irish perspective.
And this is another Christmas radio station.
Christmas radio station. Now, Radio Snowflake, I've always described as the original Christmas radio station, because back in the days of the community radio stations, back in the 80s, Radio Snowflake was... you know, it was there in 1982, 83. Radio Snowflake was there. So I brought it back about 4 years ago. And, you know, whilst Christmas FM are doing a fantastic job and they're raising an amazing profile for so many charities, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to do it as well. And we've been working with the Irish Kidney Association. We did Samaritans Dublin and some homeless charities as well. So Radio Snowflake will be back in December 2018.
And what did you think when you came back to Ireland after all the years? I mean, obviously it had been probably the best part of 20 years since you've been on the air, and you had been in an illegal pirate radio sector before, and now everything was legalised. I mean, what was your impression? What did you think of Irish radio at that stage?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny actually, when I came back in 2006, Irish radio reminded me of what it was like a little bit back in those days. I actually did feel a little bit like that back in those days. And I got a good feel out of Dublin's Q102. Enjoyed working on that station. It was very suited to my style and everything else. I kind of felt I was just going back in time a little bit. It was, you know, because there was a lot of faces that I knew from the days of you know, your radio stations back in the 80s. Scott Williams, of course, was at Dublin's Q102 at the time.
And what do you think that Irish radio is good now? Does it have a good variety and is it a good diversity?
Yeah, coming on to now, well, you know, what I think is diversity is a big thing for me, and I think that that's where Irish radio might be lacking. I think that, I mean, David Dennehy, another name that you may be familiar with.
Yes.
He's setting up a number of different radio stations now under the Dream banner. So he's got Dream Country, Dream Love, Dream Easy, And that's the sort of thing. I don't think there's enough variety on air, because obviously, you know, you've got your FM 104s and you've got your, you know, FM 104 and 98 FM and everything, and spin. But there needs to be a little bit more variety. I just don't think there's enough of it. And hopefully we're going to see some changes. I know there's some legislation coming in that hopefully will open the doors to a number of different operators. I mean, country music is very popular, and I think there's a need for a country music station. So hopefully somebody will do it.
Isn't it incredible in a country like Ireland, when there's so much interest in country music, that there wouldn't be such a station?
Yes, it is. It is, but I don't think it's too far away. I think we're going to see the doors open where there are going to be different formats and different styles. One station that does a very good job is Sunshine 106.8, as far as easy listening is concerned. And they, you know, I always listen to them when I'm back in Dublin. But I think that diversity is the one thing that I think we need to see change with. Is a lot of stations are very samey. Now, having said that, obviously the weather's been atrocious across the last number of weeks, and this is where local radio does come into its own. So your Tip FMs, stations like yourselves, KFM, which is, you know, I was KFM for 3 years as well, doing a lot of voice tracking for them. These are stations that are vital to people's everyday lives. And, you know, I think it's really important that these stations don't go the way of the UK and amalgamate and suddenly become one station. So over here you have the Heart radio stations who have swallowed up a lot of local radio stations, and localness is gone.
Mm-hmm. What would you think of the BBC local stations? Do you think, are they good? Are they good operations? Are they a good balance between what you need in terms of local and broader interest, perhaps?
Yeah, I think they are, but you mentioned their broader interests. I think they kind of, the BBC, the local stations, they're always seen as being a little bit old and tired, and they need a little bit of, they need a young kick. I think they're a little bit old and staid, to be honest with you.
You said before we spoke on air that you thought that KFM, which is in Kildare, was a good example of what a local station could be like.
I think KFM, you know, as far as Irish radio goes, I mean, I had a great time at Q102 for the year I was there. But KFM, as a station, is when you think of the stations that are actually beating into that part of the country, pretty much you've got all the Dublin stations who are getting into that part of the country, but KFM are delivering an amazing audience. The growth in their reach and listened yesterday and everything else is growing at an incredible rate. And I put that down to consistency in their programming. You know, some people have been on air there for 10 years, and they've just been there, and they're part of people's everyday lives. And, you know, Kildare was badly hit with the weather a few weeks ago, and KFM really, really came to the fore as far as coverage was concerned. And I think they're doing a remarkable job.
And you did say, David, before we spoke again, that you had some issues coming back to Ireland about your accent, which is an interesting question, because you do sound a little bit different now to when we were working together in the Pirates in Dublin in the 1980s. You sound like somebody who spent some time in the UK, but you wouldn't expect that to be an issue in Irish radio.
I don't think there should be. One thing I don't think is, I'm not going to mention any names or anything like that, but I have, I've always sort of kept an eye on vacancies, you know, if opportunities come up that I think, well, maybe I quite fancy that. But I sent a demo to a radio station, and it was a combination of lots of things I'd done in Ireland, I'd done here and everything else, and I got a reply back saying, thanks for your email, but I'd like to know why your demo is half English accent, half Irish accent. And I was really offended by that, actually. I thought that was a really offensive thing to say. Mm-hmm. I just felt a bit offended by that. Because at the end of the day, I am Irish. Ireland's my home. It always will be. But to say that, it's bordering on, a racist comment.
And would you have had the reverse in the UK, that your accent was partly Irish?
No, people just think that I've always been described. I remember the first program controller over here, Keith Rogers, said, you've got a nice Irish lilt. You've got a, he didn't say Irish lilt. He said mid-Atlantic sound to your voice. That's it. But yeah, a little bit offended by that. But that's the way it goes. You know.
And have you any other radio plans at the moment, then, David? Are you involved in anything in the UK at the moment?
I am involved with a couple of things. Obviously, Radio Snowflake will come back at Christmas for Ireland. But as far as the UK is concerned, I've actually launched a online radio station called Chelmer Radio. And it follows on a little bit from my involvement in the radio scene back in 1998 when I joined Chelmer FM. And it's based in Chelmsford, we're using the slogan "Local Radio for Local People." It's going to be covering the middle of Essex, and the idea I have behind that is to actually put it into a shopping centre with studios in the shopping centre, keep it online, and then next year the Ofcom here are advertising DAB small scale licences. For different areas, and at that point I will look to apply probably for a DAB small scale license if it becomes available, which I expect it probably will, but it's a good area. You've got a lot of good sport there, and very good businesses, and Chelmsford is a real growing city when it comes to business. But as far as everything else is concerned, it's a question, John, you know yourself, it's a never say never to anything. If an opportunity comes up that I think it's too good to turn down, well, then you follow what you believe. I did look, and it was documented on radio today, I did look at, and we did set up an idea for a country music station over there. But I think there's probably bigger fish in country music circles that can make country music work over there, bigger fish than myself. So I dropped the idea.